Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, and we are rolling along on a Monday. I'm Vanessa Richardson alongside me, Paul Gallant. We got our producer, Sean Mapes, behind the glass. How was your weekend, Paul?
Eventful.
Really?
I found out, as the apartment from hell continues to the worst place ever, that my cat has fleas. So, spent most of yesterday vacuuming the place up, Vanessa, and then giving my poor little kitty cat a bath, a flea bath.
Aria.
She wanted to stab me in the neck. And that was a process, but we are here on Monday.
You're a good cat dad.
Listen, I don't know. Now I'm starting to wonder, am I the dirty one? Or is this apartment just an absolute rancid filth hole? I can't really tell, but we have a Texans draft class to talk about, and we also have an Astros team that can't score unless it's Fridays.
I had, I went out and went on a hike and got 10 bug bites, no less than 10, and I do mean 10.
Where do you go hiking?
Memorial Park.
Oh. Well, that's not a hike, though, right? There's no mountains. There's no hills.
Well, I mean, like a...
It's a walk?
Yeah. No, but not on, like, the flat. Like, I go...
On the slightly elevated, the highest part of Houston, where it's, like, 3 feet above sea level.
My bites from yesterday.
Oh, yikes.
Ow. They were disgusting.
No, that's no bueno.
I felt absolutely gross.
What's worse, Paul with fleas or Vanessa's bites?
Yeah, the bites. Text into our show and let us know. But we are rolling along on a Monday. It was a fun draft weekend. I always love the draft. Maybe not all the mock drafts leading up to it again. But it was a fun draft, and the Texans actually had some picks to work with. We already knew Derek Stingley, Kenyon Green, but they were able to add a wide receiver that I'm really excited about, John Mechie. They were able to add Damian Pierce. And they continue to add some other guys as the day continues, including somebody you covered in Seattle.
Yeah, that's right. They added Rashim Green, a defensive end. Nothing to be really that excited about, but this is a guy that's very young. He's one of those weird USC players. It feels like they have a lot of them, whether it's Sam Darnold or Rashim Green, who's a lot younger than you would think they are, given how long that they've been in the NFL. But he once led the Seattle Seahawks in sacks, guys.
Oh, wow. How many did he have?
4.
Okay.
But he did lead them in sacks. So there's that. But you take a look at the whole draft class. I know that this is generally the day where everyone has hot opinions on what a draft class can be. And I respect the hell out of the people that actually put in the work and watch these guys. But for the most part, this day is funny because you'll see most teams get an A, B, or C. It's like the most generous grading ever. I wish I went to school and had some of these people as a teacher. No one gets Fs. No one gets Ds. No, it's just A, Bs, and Cs, and mostly As, for God's sakes.
Well, and As, they give the As usually to people that have the high draft picks. Too. And it's like, of course they're getting A's because they just got some of the top players in the draft.
And if you take someone exciting, say you're the Titans and you draft Malik Willis later on, even if you made a stupid trade to get rid of A.J. Brown earlier, they're going to give you a lot of credit for it. But if we're looking for a theme, you know, all the SEC fans out there, you puff your chest out a little bit. SEC.
Casario loves him some SEC.
Right. You go with Stingley and with Green. First two picks, you get a couple of Alabama guys, Christian Harris, Michi at wide receiver. And then at the end, you draft another tackle from LSU. So, yeah, they went heavy SEC. And I'm not going to lie, even though I'm not going to act as if I know anything about any of these draft picks and what they will ultimately be in the NFL, I mean, I'm all about going SEC. Big 10 pass, Big 12, drafting defensive players from there. Maybe not the best idea. You did take one from there, Petre, the safety out of Baylor, who's, I guess, like a possible Tyrann Mathieu clone. That's what they were at least saying, best case scenario for him. But I like all the SEC guys.
Yeah, Nick Casario had said on the press conference with the media availability that there's just something about... Actually, you know what? He said this on ESPN when Reese Davis and some of the guys had him on, where he talked about just the amount of competition that these guys face while they're in college, and that it's nothing against the other conferences, but you know those guys are game ready, and you know they've seen that level of competition, quite frankly, among other future NFL stars.
Yeah, I mean, for example, with Michi at Alabama, you can actually confuse the amount of Alabama wide receivers who have suffered knee injuries because another guy just steps in and fills the void because he probably was a five-star prospect at some point. You know, because Jameson Williams and Michi, these are two guys who tore their ACLs at Alabama. Do they ever have a step down in talent? No. I mean, I can't even imagine trying to be a player on one of those rosters year in, year out. Recruits are coming in all the time, and you probably feel a lot like veterans in the NFL do whenever a draft takes place. You're like, wait a second, I just signed here. I was a five-star recruit. I'm a sophomore. I have to compete with this little 18-year-old guy who, for some reason, is 6'5", 370 pounds, and can bench press a truck.
More will be revealed, but that's the pick that I am really excited about. So he had that ACL tear, of course, in the national championship game on December 4th.
SEC championship
game. Championship game. But he did tell media he will be fully ready to go by July, and that's what doctors are telling him.
Isn't it nuts how ACL recovery goes these days?
It's so quick now. And as long as there's no setbacks, knock on wood, that could be a reality based on the history of how quick ACL tears are healed now.
I feel like it wasn't that long ago where if someone suffered a knee injury, like it was within our lifetimes, right? Where a knee injury, an ACL injury, like you were probably never going to be the same player. And now the expectation is, and I thought at first it was just Adrian Peterson being a freak of nature, but now the expectation is, yeah, not only are you going to be back, you're going to be better. Like, what?
Well, it used to also really impact your draft stock.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it didn't with him at all, but he went about where people thought that he would go before. Mm-hmm. Okay, so meanwhile, and we do want to play this audio, though, real quick, because what you talked about with Nick Caserio.
We are buddies.
The draft, you cannot stand draft grades.
No, I can't.
Actually, Paul can't stand mock drafts.
I'll be honest. The whole process, the draft is cool. It's entertaining. The first day is especially entertaining. Yeah. But as you continue to watch day two and day three, it starts to get a little tedious. Then you get into day three in particular. You're just like, all right, I don't know anything about any of these guys. And then there are some people who you'll see online who will have like this piping hot take on some prospect. And you're saying it straight-faced. Yeah, this is an unbelievable value pick in the sixth round. Shut up.
By day three, the broadcasters are no longer wearing their, like, ball gowns and their fancy outfits. It is like game over. But Nick Caserio had this to say about the draft grades.
We're not going to know if we, quote-unquote, hit on these picks for a couple years. So, I mean, look, the draft grades are meaningless. Like, I don't, you know, whatever the big draft grades are tomorrow, like, okay, this guy, team got an A, this guy got a B, like, based on what? Like, through what lens? I mean, these guys haven't played one snap of football. So our urgency is there every day, like, as we build a team, our urgency to get good players on the team, whether it's a guy that we draft, it's a guy that we work out as a free agent, it's a guy that we sign as a free agent, guys we trade for, there's urgency every day. There's urgency in the NFL. So I'd say there's no additional pressure to, quote unquote, hit on our picks. I don't even know what that means.
Hell yeah.
I love the sassiness. I don't even know what that means.
I think we just became best friends because I cannot stand the draft grades that come out. And it's because of the points that I laid out earlier. Why is it only A through C? Like, why don't people give out Fs? Someone have some balls. Put them on the table
John
and just
McClain
give somebody
would give
an,
out
F.
an F.
Right, exactly. And see, but he's gone. We don't have people that are saying pathetic anymore. I don't know if this is just the generation
pathetic.
That we have.
Pathetic.
It's pathetic. I don't know what it is, Vanessa. I don't know if it's just this soft little TikTok Generation Z. these kids who can't handle like not being given a C. Like, but back in my day, you know, when I was growing up, if you biffed on a test, like the time I got a 37 on my comm law test in college, like that could potentially give you an F. It happened.
Not that he's bitter and not that he remembers it and not that it traumatized.
It did traumatize me. Yeah. I remember I took this test. I thought to myself, this was my senior year, and I figured, it's comm law. Like, they don't take it seriously. And I was thinking to myself while taking the class, if I get in trouble, I'm just going to hire a lawyer. Like, why do I need to learn about law? So anyway, they hand back our tests after we take it, and you only have three tests in this class. And they wrote the high score on the board and the low score. And I was like, who's the moron who got a 37? Because it was the low score in the entire class. And they gave it to me, and I was just dumbstruck because I'm a nerd, and I had never gotten below like a C in my life in anything, and I got a 37, which is
but in your defense,
beyond F. That's
I hated,
half of an F.
I hated comm law too. in your defense.
Kamlaw's a terrible class, yeah. But I mean, I was terrible at it, so who's worse?
Ian Rappaport tweeting something, some big news. The Saints are making a key post-draft addition. They are expected to sign Tyrann Mathieu, a long-awaited signing that should be finalized in the coming days, says Ian Rappaport. The Honey Badger lands in a perfect spot. That's a homecoming. Obviously, he's an LSU Tiger. He is so loved in that city, and I think he has a lot of gas left in the tank. I do.
There's something about him where I feel like his play has been a little bit overrated the last couple of years. I think a lot of it has to do, Vanessa, with watching him firsthand. What was it, the 2018 season with the Texans and how sensitive he was to any criticism of his play? Like, he wasn't very good when he was here in Houston. He did have a couple of big moments in Kansas City. We'll see. He's not that. He is not the guy that he came onto the NFL with the Arizona Cardinals. He did have some decent moments again in Kansas City, but there's a reason that he was available as long as he was. I mean, I think he thinks he's still this difference maker that he no longer is. He is a name with faded stock behind it. It's sort of, and it happens quickly to defensive backs. Like, when you lose it, you lose it. They replaced Tyrann Mathieu in Kansas City with Justin Reed. And I mean,
it's a great point. And I do, to your point, remind people when people say, oh, but it's the Saints, that this is not Sean Payton Saints. This is not your mama Saints.
No. Nope.
So do you think that he puts them maybe in the conversation for more of a shot at the playoffs in the NFC? Do you think he can be that big of a difference maker?
That defense is already good. It's a nice addition, say he works out. But it's funny that a name like this, the signing of him, is as high profile as it seems. It actually is a big story NFL-wise today, at least relative to other days. But I do not think he is still the same player. Like, after a certain point, you're a defensive back with a name, but you're not the same guy. I think we saw that with Patrick Peterson to an extent. He goes to the Minnesota Vikings. Another LSU guy, by the way. It goes quickly, and maybe that's foreshadowing for Derek Stingley Jr., but hopefully not.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we go through the Astros this weekend, plus some AAA magic. That's next.
Get know when the whistle goes.
Real fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It's always bitter to see an ex that you still love. Astros fans, I know, feel that way. Bittersweet, I should say, about George Springer. Especially when he puts on a little bit of a show.
Can he stop being mean? I mean, the leadoff home runs, does it have to happen every single game he plays against the Astros? He is still really good. I really miss him. I don't think it would have been that hard to keep him. I understand why you move on from him, but this offense continues to struggle to score runs, and when you see that Springer is a part of it on what might be your biggest competition for the American League pennant this year, it's a little frustrating, especially considering, too, I mean, your pitching did all it needed to. George Springer just provided enough of a difference for Toronto to take a series.
The Astros falling to the Toronto Blue Jays. Ugh. Playoff time, quote-unquote. Astros manager Dusty Baker said playoff time is how he described the competition between the two clubs. Quote, these guys have been playing that kind of ball the whole year because of the division they're in with the Yankees, Boston, and the rest of them. Every game is like a playoff game. There's a good chance somebody is going to have to come back through here to play playoff baseball. He, of course, was talking about Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Agree with DB?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, they're off to a good start. And, of course, it's a long year. I know everyone gets annoyed whenever I express concerns. It's only been less than a month of actual baseball games, but Toronto's good. They've proven it in back-to-back series, and they were not this kind of a threat to you in years past. They are another on a list of teams that would probably include the Yankees. I don't know if the Red Sox are right now. White Sox are somewhat in that conversation, too. Those are teams that months from now you're expecting to have to deal with, and Toronto was, though, for a lot of people, like a really sexy pick. The to win the American League this year if you're a betting person.
In your defense, freaking out after a month is better than freaking out after a week and a half. We've now seen the Astros play more competitive teams. We've seen teams like the Blue Jays that, like you said, and like Dusty Baker alluded to, could easily be one of the teams that the Astros have to get past. Certainly seems likely.
I just like freaking out, I guess.
You know, it's we all have our personality traits.
I'm the one base, like I'm the just constantly, you know, on it baseball guy. Like a lot of other baseball people, you know, they think that they're these baseball experts, but like, I'm sorry, like I'm just constantly focused with the energy of a 17 game NFL season as opposed to the energy of an 162 games.
Because most of us are what largely would be considered casual baseball fans.
Yes, I'm a casual baseball fan
that
likes football more.
You are not casual about any of it.
am I quite casual? I don't even know. I think I'm more casual with my little love triangle that I have with the Astros and Mariners now.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Got to find a hotel room for you know, my Mariners this weekend.
Paul's side chick is in town, but so, you're wearing the wedding ring, so she knows her place.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm wearing the Astros
hat.
Paul's sorry,
wearing
hon.
His hat.
No, we got to go to a hotel.
So how do you feel? Seattle Mariners in town. For those of you that don't know, Paul is what we consider, like Drake, a bandwagon fan. He grew up loving the Red Sox, and I mean, oh, just the biggest Red Sox fan. And then he
really
didn't agree with moves the franchise made,
so
he became an Astros fan. Oh, but wait, there's more. Then he goes to Seattle for less than 2 years total.
I had to pander to survive.
And becomes a Mariners fan.
It was a relationship of necessity,
and so
Vanessa.
Now he comes back to Houston to work with me on this lovely show, mm-hmm. and is now back to being an Astros fan, but still kind of supports the Mariners, but is done completely with the Red Sox.
Yes.
Can you follow that?
Yeah.
I know when that hotline bling, you're exactly like Drake.
I was done with the Red Sox. It coincided with when the Astros got good, so bandwagon accusations are 100% accurate. I am on that
at
Astros
least you
bandwagon.
Can own it. But the side chick is in town. How do you handle it?
I mean, I'm definitely, as far as notifications on my texts, they are muted. So, you know, when the phone, which I lock, I'm not giving my significant other the passcode to my phone. You won't see it if she's texting me. But I might be every now and then going to the bathroom and staying a little longer just to check the phone.
Ugh.
Well, I mean, that's what you got to do.
So you use the Snapchat for the side chick.
Yes, that's, you know what? See, the youth is providing me with insight as to how I can better keep this affair going on. Snapchat, I forgot.
He's got his ex-wife in the Red Sox, his current wife in the Astros, and his girlfriend in the Mariners.
Pause for a second. For those who use Snapchat chat, the chat disappears after a certain amount of time. I have a hard time just remembering what I said and what the other person said.
Yeah, it's
that's why
ADHD
I don't like
brain.
To do chat. That's why I don't like to do Snapchat. I'm like,
so
wait,
Paul's
what
like,
I say?
What did this girl from Scottsdale say to me? Because now she sent back
I forget.
An eggplant emoji. And I don't remember what the Arizona State
did I send
grad.
A peach or an eggplant? I don't know.
I had to say about it. With all seriousness, how do you feel about the Mariners being in town?
They're
do you
good.
Think it's the chance for the Astros to kind of get some momentum back after losing to the Blue Jays?
Well, look, they can score this year, and you have shown that you can't. Your pitching has done well this weekend. I mean, if you can hold Toronto in two games to, what was it, 2 and 3 runs respectively, great, but you got to start scoring. And I don't know what it is that's the obstacle for them. And obviously, you know, we'll talk about Jose Altuve in just a second, but not having him in the lineup hurts. But, I mean, some of these weird lineup decisions that Dusty Baker makes where you got Kyle Tucker towards the back and Chase Goodwin for some reason is like your number three hitter. What are you doing?
Are these Dusty Baker moves or James Click moves? Because they come across to me as very analytic.
Well, part of that's always going to be hard to determine. I think the rest days are James Click. But I think that the actual, like, hey, where in the lineup a guy is, that's Dusty Baker. And I'm just mind-boggled that one of your best hitters is continuously towards the bottom of the lineup when you are giving your a million rest days to all of these players that have not even played a full month of baseball. Oh, man, load management. Got to make sure that they're okay. And you're keeping, like, Chase Goodwin. Do you think he's Alex Bregman? Why is he batting where Alex Bregman bats in the order? That makes no sense.
Where do you stand on half-and-half shirts? Because since your side chick is in town...
I've thought about making one.
Oh, God.
Well, I'd probably be canceled for it. Yeah, you guys are both disgusted by this. Okay. It might be a funny bit.
So Paul loves the Mariners.
I like the Mariners.
And loves the Astros.
No, hang on. I like the Mariners. I love the Astros.
And you grew up a Red Sox fan. It all makes sense.
I used to love the Red Sox, but listen, sometimes the love fades away and then you hate them.
Okay.
It's like my parents. Like my parents, they have bad blood. It's been 20 years.
That got dark.
Well, I mean, we're just being fully transparent, fully honest here. As a product of divorce, you know, these things happen.
So where do you stand? And we want to know what you guys have to say about this in your opinion. Text us 713-780-3776 or call in. Get at us on Twitch or tweet us. Where do you stand on half and half shirts? I think half and half shirts and jerseys are acceptable.
If you're a parent.
In one case only, and that is if your flesh and blood children, plural, are on the field and they play for different teams.
What if you're one of those?
Period. That's it. Not if you're a girlfriend. Not if you're. That is it.
What if you're one of those ladies who enjoys company with NBA players, but you've hung out with multiple NBA players? Because there's a couple of them. Like, I mean...
Well, there's a lot of those women, but you're...
I think Kendall Jenner would have a say the Suns and Sixers played each other in the finals. Like, would she wear a half Sixers, half Suns jersey for Devin Booker and Ben Simmons?
Wait, say that again? What's her name?
Kendall Jenner?
Yeah.
Yeah, dated Ben Simmons for a little bit.
No, it's whoever you're dating at the time.
Yeah, she wouldn't wear one for her ex.
No? You don't think so?
No.
No, I thought she's like all That's about insane. Like the, no, the vibes.
Not everyone's like you, Paul.
The other split jersey decision that I remember thinking was okay. 2006 Tostitos Fiesta Bowl.
Ooh.
So it was Laura Quinn at the time. Her
Ooh,
brother,
yeah,
was Notre Dame quarterback Brady Quinn, but she had just started really seriously dating AJ Hawk. Like, and they were really serious.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, your brother's Notre Dame's quarterback. You're really serious with AJ Hawk. Laura Quinn Hawk, back in 2006, that was, if you remember, one of the first OG, like, viral moment split jerseys.
Okay.
That one was okay.
Okay.
I get it.
Okay.
I say pick a side.
You say pick, even with Brady Quinn.
Yeah, pick your brother.
And AJ Hawk.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're married with kids. I mean
now when AJ Hawk and Brady Quinn play each other, wherever, if they were still in the NFL, then she could split the jersey.
Are they going to be in, maybe... Do you think that they could be in fan controlled football? I mean, they're both like analysts now. AJ Hawk's on Pat McAfee show frequently, and Brady Quinn is just like looking handsome as a color commentator for Fox these days. But let's see these both guys out on the field again.
And they're like 10 years younger than Terrell Owens, so
that is true.
She gets the stamp of approval of me from the split jersey. You, my friend,
I can't
do
it. Okay,
pick a side.
Jeez.
Do you think this is hard on Aria, being a product of divorce yourself?
Yeah.
Like you see that you're really pushing it down the line?
100%. But I think she's got bigger problems, specifically the fleas. I live in an apartment with fleas, guys. So there's that. My life's great.
If you don't want to live in an apartment with fleas and if you'd rather live in a house,
hey, ladies.
Listen up. TGS is going to deliver big savings and you don't even have to talk to an agent. You know you're paying too much for your home insurance, but you probably don't shop for better rates because it's a big hassle. Doesn't have to be anymore thanks to TGS Insurance. They have a new system, instantly shops over 3 dozen carriers and gives you a full quote in just 15 seconds. And all you have to do is send one single text. You're going to save a bunch of money. So listen to me. Take your phone, text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system is going to ask for your home address, send it back, and you get that full quote within 15 seconds. This company's legit. The savings legit. Their online rating is almost perfect. And last year, their average customer saved over $870. So no one likes to shop for home insurance, but TGS is going to make it easy. Take your phone out, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote today. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, a moment for a minor leaguer who may have a bright future. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
You know, every now and then you see a AAA prospect and you think that kid's going to be good. We saw it this weekend, Sugarland Space Cowboys. Young man named Jose Altuve was rehabbing with the Space Cowboys. On Friday, went 2-for-4 with a pair of singles. Saturday, finished the night 1-for-3 with a double, walk, and run scored. Also took a really cute picture with the baby. A really cute picture.
But he's in rehab.
He stayed and talked with fans. He is in rehab.
Should I be concerned that he's in rehab?
Well,
are Yankee fans going to pounce on this and say, like, because they're idiots and say, hey.
Hey, I heard, oh, I can't, I always do a Southern accent.
Oh, yeah, there you go. He wears a buzzer and he's in rehab. Oh, he's a drunk loser.
Dude's a junkie.
Oh, yeah. What's up with that?
You guys do good Bronx impressions.
Well, yeah, just sound like a guttural Neanderthal.
That watches The Sopranos. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. That's anti-Italian discrimination.
He is expected to be in the lineup today as the Astros will take on Paul Sidechick, the Seattle Mariners. Mm-hmm. So what you saw from Jose Altuve this weekend to me was just the clear sign of thankfully, and I do say thankfully because Jose Altuve is not a spring chicken. This is not an injury that's going to get the best of him. When he went on that 10-day IL, I was nervous, but it does appear that it will be a 10-day IL stint.
Hamstring injuries are always weird, though, to gauge because you don't know when it's going to re-aggravate itself. And I will admit that whenever an older Astro gets banged up, I will be a little nervous. And I think in the case of Altuve, who has been with this team for a really long period of time, I think that's a fair way to react to it. And I'm thankful, though, that things look good for now. And, of course, you can, you know, hear the Sugarland Space Cowboys on ESPN 92.5. You're home.
You can hear it here.
Right. It's
92.5.
Fantastic. So listen, next time there's an Astro injured, boom, you can listen to this guy try to get back into the major leagues.
It is cool. It is cool to have the AAA team, A, be so close, because that is not the case.
And B, the Space Cowboys, baby.
And that is something that we probably don't touch on enough in the sports scene in Houston because there's so
Cowboys
much going on.
Cool?
No, the fact that it's close. It's really cool.
Yeah.
The AAA affiliate for the Pittsburgh Pirates is in Indianapolis. Shout out to the Indianapolis Indians. But yeah, no.
Wow, that's racist. They haven't been canceled?
They have not been canceled yet.
Wait, how is the minor league team the one that's still making it happen?
But there have been.
The Indians are the Guardians
discussions
now.
About changing the Indianapolis Indians.
But Indianapolis, noted racist city.
No.
Like, yeah, we love this.
No, there's a lot of cultural history there.
Yeah, like in the television show Parks and Rec, which takes place in Pawnee, Indiana. But yeah, there's a lot of...
I'm not going to say everything in that show is inaccurate. When they have like the sugar company that just sells sugar in mass and people gain a bunch of weight, I'm like, yeah, home sweet home.
And there's the pioneers and the natives had a wonderful relationship on the frontier in Indiana.
Meanwhile, it's there great. Was there is some
maybe that's why
news.
The Indiana Indians. Okay, sorry, I'll stop.
Yeah, Indiana. See, it's not cultural appropriation. Aaron Wilson, who covers the NFL and works right now for Pro Football Network, just tweeted out: Texans are expected to exercise 2023 fifth-year club option for 2019 first-round offensive lineman Titus Howard, according to league sources. If Aaron tweets it, I trust it. So, Titus Howard is somebody that they have pushed in front of the media, somebody that has very much proved to be versatile and willing to play any position that they want. We know that the Texans front office likes that, but they're picking up his fifth-year option. Good leader in the locker room. I like this move.
Hopefully they just stop moving him around because moving him to the interior did not work out. So you have Laremy Tunsil back. You can move Titus Howard to the outside. I know that with the last pick that the Texans made in the draft, the tackle that they got from LSU, that there is potentially a chance that guy could be your swing tackle, but Titus Howard belongs on the outside. And say he can play at a level that you've seen him play before, if you have him on the, you know, the fifth-year option, that's actually a pretty relative bargain. Do I expect a long-term extension for Howard after that fifth year? I don't know about that. We'll see. I mean, he's got to, I think, prove that on that right side he can be consistent. You mentioned the versatility. The versatility can be kind of held against him because, all right, he's versatile, but he's
but
not
that
versatile.
Can you specialize in one thing?
He's emergency versatile, not legitimately versatile.
When they had COVID outbreaks, he was almost always slid over. It seemed like he was the guy that they decided to. Do you remember when they had COVID outbreaks?
Yeah, no, I do remember. I'm just like, okay, well, I mean, perk for he's resistant to the COVID.
Yeah.
Has strong COVID genes.
I thought that I did, and then I ended up getting it in January.
I got a booster, and then I got COVID 5 days later. So
that's what happened.
That made me
feel
great about everything I'd been told.
Seattle, whoa, hey, am I right? Chill, dog. But good move for the Texans. They have some consistency in that locker room. What's in a hug? There was a hug that I think was a really, really big deal this weekend during the draft.
When?
And if you go on Twitter, you can see this.
Was it when Wendy Bird got hugged?
No. you finished Ozark, though.
I did.
Me
I couldn't
too.
Stop.
Disappointing
we'll,
ending.
We'll talk about that later.
But Nick Caserio and Lovie Smith had a joyful, smile-filled, loving hug after making a draft pick.
Whoa.
And here's the thing.
Is it a real hug?
It was a real hug.
Was there like a smooch on the side of the
cheek? Don't
be
weird.
Why is that
no,
weird?
No need to be weird.
It's not weird in every culture but America.
There's
that's
literally,
normal. They give a peck on the cheek afterwards.
There is no reason to be weird about this.
That's not weird. That's culturally what's done across the whole world. Why don't we kiss each other?
That's
it's unprofessional at the very least.
Yeah.
The men are coworkers.
Oh, that's anti-Italian discrimination, Sean.
Yeah, they're coworkers.
You don't get it.
The Texans account tweeted it out saying, update, things are going well. Here's why I think the hug was a big deal.
Mm.
Because the Texans have not been known for having a front office that always agrees, gets along. We know that there was, quote unquote, kind of an unhealthy work environment under Bill O'Brien. People were scared to come to work. We, of course, know all of the things that happened
all
with
of those
Jack
things happened.
Easterby.
They what? Actually happened.
Yeah.
Isn't it crazy just to think about it?
Oh, I mean, there are people that work in that building that told me about how unpleasant things were under that regime.
It's legitimately something you could turn into a television drama.
Yes. It's like Succession or some Billions or something like
That'd
that.
Be good.
But even with David Coley, okay, well, it was an odd hire, but at least the mood was better. Now you have a nice guy in that coaching position with experience. You have a general manager who you feel has a little bit of hope. And you know what? They seem to like each other. And who would have thought? So give it up for the Texans, because that hug, to me, was symbolic that things are on the right track in the front office.
The symbolic hug.
It was a symbolic hug.
It was
meaningful. It was the Texans saying, our front office doesn't hate each other anymore.
It was a forceful hug, too. Like, there was a lot of
There was joy.
I
loved it.
The Texans are back on track because their head coach and their general manager hugged. You can't tell me otherwise. Super Bowl this year? I can't say.
Is that Jim Rome?
That is Hot Take Harry.
Oh, but it's
He's
based
like
on
who Jim Rome stole his act from.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Because that definitely sounded Jim Rome-ish. But to me, look, if, you know, Steve Kimes and Cliff Kingsbury hug, it's like, all right, whatever. In the Texans regime, after everything this franchise has been through, I liked the hug. I thought the hug was a nice touch.
Look, it's good to have alignment. And I remember Bill O'Brien would mention this in passing often when it comes to his relationship with the general manager, whether it was first off Rick Smith, there was no alignment.
Right.
Or with Brian Gain, also there was no alignment. Perhaps there's a problem
Who's
with the
common
person
denominator?
Talking about alignment that, as opposed to the other people involved. Jack Easterby. Oh, wait, there's still no alignment? Uh-oh. So it's good to see that now, hopefully it lasts, but I think it's important to remember, you know, you really don't know anything about how these players that the Texans just drafted are going to work out for a couple of years. And I think there are serious questions to ask from this top with Derek Stingley Jr. You are now a leader, Derek. Are you going to be able, by default, because you're the third overall pick, are you going to be able to be a guy that can be turned to in a time of crisis? Or are you going to be the super talented player that maybe isn't all about team? That's not necessarily me suggesting that based off of anything I've heard. But right, like the last couple of seasons, you could make the argument that he was not a staying power in that LSU locker room, which clearly dealt with a lot after winning the title in 2019. In a post-Joe Burrow world, it has been a mess. And he was there for the mess and did not fix the mess.
So other big draft moments. This was my personal favorite. Ed Marinaro. Marinaro turns draft pick into a 3-minute monologue.
Oh,
I watched this live.
I did too.
And this was painful.
It was. And I didn't recognize who he was.
No, I don't think many people did. He's so old. And other than, I mean,
he looks good for his age.
He does look. He does.
I mean, I thought to myself, I was like, wait a second. Who the hell is this guy? It doesn't seem to be a significant Minnesota Viking player. Why is he up here announcing the pick? And he just kept going. And it was like watching a stand-up comic bomb. He had terrible jokes.
The producer
had
to come rush him off.
No delivery.
She came and pointed to his card.
But he is a guy from a television show. And I don't know if you've watched Blue Mountain State, which is the show on Netflix.
I have not, but I know he was on that. He
right.
was also on Laverne and Shirley.
Which I did not know about until this morning.
Fun fact.
I found that out. And yes, and I guess...
my parents like that show. That's the only reason.
There's some other television show that he was on. I think it was like a cop drama. But anyway, yeah. he went up to the podium, and it was just a train wreck. Here's
this
Ed.
This is crazy. We didn't have this many people when I played in the Super Bowl. Finding a Viking purple sport coat is not easy.
He's going to insert a laugh.
But I did it. And I hope you appreciate it.
So awkward.
50 years ago, I was drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. In fact, there was only one team that I wanted to be drafted by less.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm not going to mention Green Bay.
Oh,
we got to have some GOAT fans out there.
Nailed that joke.
This is right in Charles' wheelhouse.
Go GOATs, baby. Anyway.
Is he going to get to the early?
There you go.
Read the card.
So the producer comes out, points to the card.
Let's go, Ed.
People start cheering for the producer.
He got us getting the hook. Not even any playoff music. Just read it.
Anyway, with the 42nd pick in the 2022 NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings select defensive back Andrew Booth from Clemson.
So shout out to Andrew Booth, because his draft moment will forever be tied to the old player that couldn't shut up.
I'd be pissed off about that, actually, if I were him. I mean, because now you're going to remember the possibly drunk celebrity that doesn't have a significant job anymore.
I was like, does he have Alzheimer's?
I thought he was drunk.
Oh, you thought maybe he was soft.
I mean, at least he wasn't as drunk as... Who's that super plastic surgeon dude that was... he's like a Las Vegas legend. I don't know what his name is. He was in the he was in the Las Vegas Chevy Chase vacation movie. I forget his name.
Wayne Newton.
Wayne Newton? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That guy was hammered. Yeah, like he announced the guys, whoever, he couldn't read what pick he was supposed to deliver. The other guy, I think it was Marcus Allen, who was just objectively horrified, was like, what the hell? Like, he kept on looking over at him and saying, like, what is going on? And he read off the name, and instead of saying Minnesota, he said Memphis.
He said Memphis.
Or vice versa.
That was bad.
He was like, okay, all right, this guy loves Vegas.
The lineup of draft announcers at one point was Donnie Osmond, Kyle Brandt, and then Wayne Newton. And it was entertaining, if anything.
Donnie Osmond, how about that?
So they did. They definitely did Las Vegas right.
Let's get down
all right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we have a little, in case you missed it, Monday, including a local angle to one of the biggest Friday news dumps I've ever seen. That's next.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, if you want to hang out with me and Paul, listen up. It's the 2022 Listener Appreciation Party.
The whole station.
It's going to be incredible. There's going to be John, Lance, Joel, The Wheelhouse.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Yeah, he's our guest of honor. So join us.
Keyshawn Johnson.
Along with Keyshawn Johnson. This is Wednesday, May 11th. At St. Arnold Brewery. We're going to be broadcasting live from noon to 9 p.m.
And hopefully some of y'all will still have a copy of Keyshawn Johnson's infamous book that he wrote essentially his second year in the NFL.
Never forget.
Give Me the Damn Ball. Which is just, you know, the kind of stuff of legend. And it's essentially what started the wide receiver, hey, what's up? Look at me era. I wonder how he feels about it now, because see all these trades that are taking place?
We're going to get to talk with him, and we're going to do an Instagram Live with him, actually.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
So I'm excited for that. So come hang out with us. Enjoy great beer, great food, door prizes, and a whole lot more. Chef Ryan at St. Arnold even came up with special pizza for Keyshawn called Just Give Me the Damn Pizza.
Nice.
So come out May 11th for the Listener Appreciation Party. That is at St. Arnold Brewery, and that is a Wednesday.
As far as random sports jerseys I've owned over the course of my life, a Keyshawn Johnson number 19 Bucks jersey that I had for 3 years is among my favorite. It's not quite the Joe Juravicious Bucks jersey that I also had, because I think my mom was like, oh, well, he's a white wide receiver and Paul likes wide receivers. I'll give him this. It's a good jersey, though.
You only had it for 3 years?
What, the Keyshawn Johnson one?
Yeah.
I grew out of it.
Oh,
it was like a youth. It was
like, is a rental program or something?
No, I think I was just at Play It Again Sports, or not Play It Again, like Champs or something like that. And I had a bunch of Christmas money, and I was like, I'm getting a Keyshawn Johnson jersey. My best friend had a Warwick Dunn Bucks jersey. So then whenever we played, like pick up two-hand touch / tackle football in the backyards, we would be the Bucks boys. Yeah.
I love that. Keyshawn is one of the brightest minds in sports media. And
I just like him.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been
really... I just like wide receivers who talk trash.
Right, yeah. Well, he does that too. So we'll talk to him about that when you and I do our Facebook Live. And I'm really, really excited for that. So make sure you stay tuned and you come to that. All right, it is time for an edition of In Case You Missed It, Monday. There was a lot this weekend. There was a couple of Friday news dumps, but mm-hmm. we do want to start out with focusing on the big story, which was the NFL draft.
Yes.
There was my favorite. I think it's the best morning show on television. I've made no bones about that. Good Morning Football. Kay Adams, Peter Schrager, Kyle Brandon, and then it was Nate Burleson, who's now with CBS. It started a couple years ago. It was the first, I think, really segment-oriented, funny, all-football three-hour show.
It's different from most morning yes. shows because it's not two guys yelling at each other.
It's not two guys, and they do things like fun segments where, like today, they did superlatives, best dressed of the draft.
I think it's a fun show. Yes, I agree.
It's very, very fun. So one of the guys on that show, Kyle Brandt, former
favorite.
Reality star of the Real World and former soap opera star.
Used to produce the Jim Rome show.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Played football, I believe, at Princeton.
Princeton.
He's done a ton.
He's had like five lifetimes, and he's not even probably in his mid-40s.
The soap opera lifestyle would, I think, be the most fun.
He's done a lot. And one of the things that he said he was excited about was announcing an NFL draft pick. So the Buffalo Bills, the Pegula family, actually asked Kyle Brandt if he could do this. It took a lot logistically for him to get there in time. He took Spirit Airlines. He kind of live tweeted his entire journey. He had a Buffalo wing in his pocket. But first, we'll talk about that. Let's get to the actual draft pick of Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football.
I find it perfect that the Bills are drafting in this city of luck, of chance, because you all know, and I know, the only thing in this world that can stop Josh Allen is the flip of a coin. So Mafia, mount up, and every other fan base, listen up. Chiefs fans, Raiders fans, Bengals fans, in my hands, I hold the most important pick of this entire round, because this pick is the only pick who will win the Super Bowl in his rookie year. With the 89th pick of the 2022 NFL Draft, the Super Bowl 57 champion Buffalo Bills select my man, Terrell Bernard, linebacker, Baylor.
He said my man so convincingly, and as he did that, woo, he took a bite of this buffalo wing that I guess he had had since Wednesday.
Yeah, he had bought it in New York.
Right, because there weren't any buffalo wings to be found, and I guess he flew with this in his coat pocket.
He took a paper towel from the airport bathroom, wrapped the chicken wing in it,
yeah.
put it in his pocket, mm-hmm. and had no regrets because he said there were no buffalo wings in the green room. So had he not bought this on Wednesday and brought it from New Jersey to Las Vegas, he would have had no wing.
I have a hot take on this.
Okay.
If the Bills win a Super Bowl, Buffalo Bills fans are a sleeping giant as far as insufferably obnoxious
Ooh,
sports fans.
Really?
This is a taste. They have not said anything in, let's face it, 25, 26, 27 years. Since Jim Kelly retired after the 1996 season, they have largely been an afterthought. But in the early 90s, they won a lot. They didn't win Super Bowls, of course, but they were the most relevant AFC team for the first half of that decade. They made it to four straight. They got crushed by the Cowboys in a lot of them. And honestly, it's a good thing that the Cowboys kept them down. Imagine Western Pennsylvania folks and folks from New York who have migrated out of New York City. And just Western New York folk. These are very loud, obnoxious people who we enjoy because they're cute partiers. And they throw themselves through tables
they
while
do. They
set
do the
on
table
fire.
Thing. Yeah.
If the Bills win a Super Bowl, I'm telling you, this is a menace to the United States of America. These people will not shut up. So they must be kept down.
You don't want the Bills to win because of their fan base?
I have one in my group of friends, Steve, who all of a sudden, he's tasted a little bit of the success. You did not know he was a Bills fan in college.
You know, they have Bills bars in almost every major American city.
Yes, because
they have a Bills bar here in Houston. They have one in Indianapolis. They have one in Dallas. I mean, there are Bills bars everywhere.
What happened to Red Sox fans when they started winning? They already were the worst, but they were beaten down and depressed, jaded folk. Then they became the worst. Patriots fans became the worst. This is a different breed. I'm telling you, it is a menace to the United States of America if the Bills win anything, because Bills fans will not shut the bleep up.
They will be very obnoxious, but I would actually like to see them beat the Chiefs and go to the Super Bowl. But Kyle Brandt, great job. Great job by Kyle Brandt.
Yes. I like Kyle a lot.
Also, in case you missed it over the weekend, the city of brotherly love is no longer Philadelphia. It is Pittsburgh. The Steelers now have four sets of brothers on their roster.
Whoa.
So
interesting.
I know, right?
There's got to be at least two of those brothers who hate each other.
Yeah, like two sets that don't get along.
It can't be every single group of those brothers is good. Like, who has the worst relationship?
TJ Watt and Derek Watt. You know that even if they had a bad relationship, they wouldn't let on.
Right.
Terrell and Trey Edmonds. I don't really know much about their relationship.
Let's just assume it's them.
Carlos and Khalil Davis, and then Cameron and Connor Hayward. They definitely love each other. Mm. They're very open.
I don't know. You never know. But that is something else, that there's four sets of brothers on the
same
team.
Very weird. Will they all make it through minicamp? We'll see. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galant 92.5, ESPN 97.5, we talk a little bit more about the Texans draft specifically, and we want your take on this. How the AFC South developed during this draft. That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I don't blame you, Don.